Game five is in the books. The New England Patriots improved their record to 3-2. 38-24 will be the final score. At least that's how it will read. The boys are here, and we're ready to talk about it. So,
hi, Glenn.
Hi, good to see you, fellas. Everything good? Everything good? All right. First half, Edelman back. Looked like the same old Patriots. Dink, dunk. Brady just tearing apart that zone defense of the Indianapolis Colts.
9 for 9 on the first drive.
Unbelievable. Right. And then the second half, they got sloppy. They threw, they gave up the ball, a couple of catches, one by Hogan.
Two in a row.
One by Gronk that they both should have had.
But don't forget, the Gronk was on the 2-yard line.
Yep. So
and the Hogan one was on the 20-yard line.
Got sloppy.
Points right there. You don't give that up. That right in a row, two sequences in a row, they dropped the ball. They were careless with it. Pass rush wasn't there, you know.
There was no pass rush.
No pass rush at all.
I mean, it's funny, they had a sack early in the game, first possession by the Colts, and then from that point on, Freddie, you're right.
But not
they
only
really
that,
didn't pour pressure.
Not only that, when he was throwing the ball, they were clustering themselves, and he could step aside, and there was a clear shot down the field. They weren't staying in the lanes, at least to put your hands up. So the pass rush was terrible. When you have a terrible pass rush with a very good quarterback, it leads to a lot of yardage. And it was, you know, they had a good game. The luck threw the ball pretty well.
He did.
It seemed like they got a little less aggressive in the second half defensively.
Yeah.
You know, maybe sitting on a lead or whatever. I'm not sure. Maybe a little bend but don't break. But they let them almost get back into this game.
You know, the Hogan one, if you kick a field goal, that's going to end the game. Or the Gronk, when he's down the 1-yard line, that Scott touchdown right there would have ended.
Which gave him an extra yard. You said two-yard line earlier.
2-yard line. It was on the 2-yard line.
He changed it. Just adjust. You got to adjust on the fly.
Fell on 2-yard line. I mean, that yeah. you Gronk,
Gronk
had that
might have got in, actually. I mean, that's – you're right. You don't – these are uncharacteristic mistakes. And Hogan, his hand should have been reversed the other way. You don't catch the ball in a basket. You catch it. You grab the ball out of the air. Gronk, we know he's going to make those plays 99 times out of 100. But – again, disconcerting that you have a team down and you don't put your foot on their throat.
And look at the overtime game against Texas. They were down and they came all the way back and tied it up in the overtime.
That's what the Colts have been doing. Every week they've been coming back, and you got to give them an awful lot of credit because they don't have a lot of their regulars.
No.
They get guys going down.
And a bunch of guys out.
They lost a bunch of guys in this game.
And the offensive line was depleted.
Yeah.
You know, and there was virtually no pass rush at all. Even when they blitzed, there was no pass rush.
Yeah, not a lot of blitzing, but even so, you'd expect a four-man rush.
When they bring five guys,
right.
Four guys, they weren't getting pressure.
Yeah, but you would assume with a hurt offensive line like they had that your four guys could get some pressure on them, but we didn't see it.
This wasn't a great D line. Offensive line did a pretty good job protecting Tom. I think the guy that can't play, the rookie, that's terrible.
Sonny Michel.
He's
pretty good.
I think they should cut him.
He's pretty good.
He only had 100
yards.
Good.
The
nope,
Edelman 90, thing.
99.5 yards.
Yeah, he finished shy of 100 yards. And he would have been the first running back to get 100 yards
Glenn, back
game since when?
He made that
I don't know.
He made it
2015.
11.
You had no idea. That was your job.
Don't ever look. When I start spouting out stats, don't ever listen to me.
All Glenn. I asked you to do is dig a little bit of research.
He did.
You can't do it.
Very little.
I will say this. Julian Edelman makes a huge difference in what they do offensively. Notice the space Gronk got tonight.
Yep.
Notice the space Hogan got tonight. Hogan did not take advantage of it. Could have. All right? They got space with other guys because suddenly Edelman is drawing an awful lot of attention.
What was the big plus today? Gordon.
Well, the big touchdown.
That catch. When he catches the ball, he just yanks it right in, pulls it right into his chest.
Strong.
But you know what? When Tom was running around, he changed his route, ran downfield like he's supposed to, and he took the ball right between the defenders and pulled it in.
Interesting, because the two previous passes that Brady threw, I take it back, the first two he threw to him because he made another catch, but the first two that he threw to him looked like Gordon was in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Okay, there was some type of mix-up there with Brady and Gordon on those first
two passes. Especially on that deep out.
Yep.
It looked like Gordon probably took it 4 or 5 yards too deep at that point. So, well, again, you're going to have a little bit of a learning curve, but you put two of those guys together and you should have something that's going to help you later on.
Well, the very bright spot is if Edelman at full speed and Gordon learning the offense, that's going
to
open it up.
Were you surprised to see Edelman returning punts?
No.
A little bit.
No, and I'll tell you why, because I think they watched him in practice this week. Steve, a lot of people thought that it was going to take time, maybe a couple weeks, 3 weeks,
right,
for him to get the timing and the rhythm back. I mean, he dropped the ball mainly because he took his eyes off of it, okay,
agreed,
that one drop he had. Other than that, he looked like the same Julian Edelman that we saw a couple years ago, right?
Yep.
Same guy. And right away, clicking with Tom Brady. There was no – it was like they picked up right where they had left off.
He got extra yards in a couple of plays he shouldn't have. I mean, he turns upfield and lowers his shoulder and just goes. You know, he knows where the yard sticks are. He knows where the first down is and what he has to get.
He changes everything for this team, Fred. He really does. He opens up a running game for them. He changes everything because he's the guy. You've got – if you're a defense, you've got to pay attention to what Julian Edelman is doing.
And Tom's always comfortable and throwing before his break because he knows where he's going to be. So when he sees – Edelman run down, there's one coverage. He knows he's going to go right or left, and he throws it. Therefore, when he gets the distance between the defender, he's throwing the ball as he's turning. The defender has no chance of getting it. So when that timing gets perfect, it'll be very difficult.
I would say the only disappointing –
offense was very good today. Defense not so good.
Yeah, I would say the only disappointing part of this game, because the defense did some good things, I thought, in the first half, Fred. I didn't have a problem with what they did in the first half. Second half, they became really lax. I don't know if they sat back on the lead. But even the offense, first three possessions, they did nothing in the second half.
Yeah, it didn't look like the same offense.
Nope.
They looked a little disjointed and weren't able to get anything going for the most part. And then you throw in a couple of drop passes that led to interceptions. Now all of a sudden you let Indy sneak back into the game.
And they're all fired up. You see the motion switching, and then boom, they go down and score a touchdown. And then that lousy rookie went in and scored a touchdown.
Well, Brady had hit 14 of his first 15 passes, and then he had that series where White deep pass, he overthrew him. Gordon, it was a low pass, it was in the ground. Then Gronk, a low pass.
Yep.
And from that point on, they seemed to sputter a little bit. You could see they weren't the same offensively. And you're right, Freddie, defensively, they were really having problems.
No, really. I mean, they weren't. They were running for 5-6 yards on every run play.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't tackling very well. They're standing up. The offensive line was, I mean, defensive line were getting pushed back, similar to what we saw against the Lions. So they just looked a little lackadaisical. And like you said, in the second half, they just weren't playing at all.
Well, they also used a whole lot more of the hurry up, not even a hurry up, but a no huddle offense where they were calling the plays at the line of scrimmage too. So, you know, they might have had Indy back on their heels a little bit in the first half. You didn't see as much of that no huddle in the second half, and I don't know if that was by design or they just, again, sitting on the lead.
I almost get the feeling that when they get the big lead, what they ended up doing is they were almost like in a prevent. We're going to let everything underneath.
Well, use the clock in
right.
our favor.
But the Colts, the way they play, it is all a dink and dunk game. That's
right.
How they play. So they don't come up with the big play. There weren't many big plays today.
Because, you know,
Colts.
Frank Wright was the Eagles' offensive coordinator
in
the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, so.
Similar offense.
Similar offense, and they got a quarterback. He was pretty accurate today,
yeah.
And he didn't have pressure. And they just were getting 7, 8, 10, 12, 3rd and 10, getting it down. You know, they kept making big plays.
Yeah,
and there were some spectacular catches by the Colts, too. I mean, they offensively played very well.
Yeah, Ebron had some terrific catches for them, including that touchdown. I'll take it back. I said all week, looking at Andrew Luck the last couple of weeks, he looked like he was forcing some stuff up there. Now, there weren't all great passes in this game. But when he wanted to throw the ball, he was able to throw the ball. And
he had more velocity
on
the ball today.
He did.
Yep.
He was able to get it out.
His reads were quicker. But when there was no pressure, he looked with the pressure, and he stood back there waiting for someone to get open. And a bunch of times, some of the big plays came when the defense was crunched into one spot, and he could step left or right and see a wide-open window and find someone open.
But overall, offensively, despite the two dropped interceptions or whatever, the two mishandled interceptions, offensively, from what you saw in that first half, the way Edelman was integrated into the offense almost instantly, and the way it opened things up for Gronk, you have to be pleased with the return. I think this was actually more than I expected from Edelman's return.
I agree.
You know, I thought it was going to maybe take a little time to get all those things to fall into place, but that first half, it fell into place.
Steve, this was the old offense that we've seen with the New England Patriots.
Right?
This is the offense.
And it's been a long time since we've seen Gronk and Edelman out there, 31 games, since the two of them had been out there on the field together.
This is the offense we're used to seeing, which they can close the game.
Yeah.
You know, they're all of a sudden, it's one touchdown, out there, bang, next thing you know, it's three touchdowns. That's what we've seen in the past. This is the kind of firepower going forward that they could depend on, because they have a lot of weapons. Yeah, they're not hand strong.
I will say this. They get Kansas City here a week from Sunday night. The defense is going to have to play a hell of a lot better against that offense.
Well, they have to play smart. What happens with Kansas City, whenever the quarterback breaks out of the pocket, the DBs were coming up to get him, leaving guys wide open on the field. When you watch Denver and you watch different games they play, you need to stay with your guy. Let him run if he's going to run. Try to keep him in the pocket. But if he comes up, don't drop your coverage.
But you'd have to be probably a little more confident that the Patriots could play a shootout game with Kansas City. Kansas City defense can let up some points too. So after tonight, you're thinking, okay, well, if they improve a little bit more over the next 10 days, now all of a sudden you might be able to play a shootout game with them.
Well, they may need 40 next week.
Right.
Well, think what you said, 10 more days. That's a big plus for the Patriots. Right. They get a whole couple extra days to rest and to get in the sync with Edelman and with that.
So you wonder with the short week, do you tire out in the second half? Is that defense a little worn out in the second half? Now, you can make all the excuses you want for the Indianapolis Colts. They played an extra quarter. They played an overtime game. They had to fly all the way to New England. You didn't have to fly. But you only get 3 days for this game. Game's over now, and you're right, Fred. We don't expect to see this type of maybe sluggish attitude in the second half by the defense a week from Sunday night. They're going to have 10 days to get ready for this game.
They have 10 days, and they're going to need 10 days to get ready for
this. Yeah, and the coaching staff might need it, too, to try to break down that Kansas City Chief and what they do offensively with all
that
motion.
So much motion, but the big thing is you get a couple extra days to analyze and dissect what they're doing. It's not the first or second game of the season where your team's not on the same page right now. You have to play perfect football to stop that offense. Defensively, they're not that good. And Steve brought up the point. Other teams have to play differently because they've been scoring so many points on them. You know, that's the difference. Get them where they're trying to chase you. That will change the number.
We're going to open up the phone lines at 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. We'll talk a little bit about this one. Patriots win it 38-24. A lot of good things, especially with Edelman back in the lineup. And you could see that old Patriot offense, but really sloppy in the second half. And they give up far too many points in that second half and far too many big plays. I shouldn't say big plays. They allowed them to move the chains consistently.
Yeah, mid-level plays, some 17-yard catches here and there.
16-yard drive and got three out of it. 16 plays on one drive and get through. And then Vinatieri, unlikely, custom to him, he missed the field goal. What was it?
Whatever it was.
What was the foul? Yeah. Then he kicked a 54-yard field goal.
Which could have gone 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
You jinxed him.
I did. I called it, too.
Yeah. Well, he did tonight.
He was on
We're
fire.
We're watching the game, and Fred's calling virtually everything.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Interception.
He was like Rain Man out there.
Interception coming up right here. Boom.
Interception. Sack. He did on the sack too. You know what it is? Only sack that they got.
He's an alien. He's been at this planet before. He's seen all of this stuff, and he's just remembered. Right.
But we've been.
Transported up to the big ship.
We've literally watched hundreds of games with Fred where he says something's going to happen for the Patriots.
He's
and he's
wrong.
Always like, touchdown, interception. He wasn't doing that tonight. He was very selective, and when he called a play,
just
and
coming
boom,
to me.
It was just happening. It was ridiculous.
I could go down to the casino tonight.
Yeah. It was. I've never seen that. I was like, who are you, and what have you done with Fred?
Trust me, we have 11 games left.
Yeah.
He won't
He'll
get
be back.
A single one.
Don't count on it, big man.
He'll
won't
be back.
Get a single one of them, right?
I'm sitting there like, what the hell is going on all of a sudden? All of a sudden, I'm not the smartest man at the table. What the hell happened?
All that rest I get from not being on the radio has really cleared my head.
Oh, so it cleared your head? So that's
a really good thing.
When you were on the radio there.
I want to thank Joey.
They were not shy about using Edelman tonight. He played 50 of the 71 snaps in the game, including the penalties. He also, as Steve pointed out, he was the punt returner in this game. So that's a heavy workload for him right out of the gate.
And he wasn't relying on the fair catch. He was running returns. Yeah.
No, he had a nice one that was called back with a penalty.
Yep.
He had a nice return in traffic. You know, skirted a couple of tackles. And
fresh legs.
Yeah, and he got 10.
When he catches the ball, he wasn't hesitating at all. His routes were real good. He caught the ball well and accelerated, turned and accelerated. He wasn't second-guessing himself.
I hate to say it, but the extra 4 weeks with the suspension probably did him good. If he's trying to come back from the ACL, and a lot of people have been comparing it to Wes Welker. Wes Welker got hurt in the last game of the regular season.
Right.
And then he was back for the start of that next season.
Right.
So that's like, what, eight and a half months, nine months? This guy's had 13 months now to come back from football. That's a long period of time. And he was healthy and played in the preseason.
Yes.
So he was around during all of that.
And oftentimes guys are tentative coming back from injuries like that, at least within their first real live action, not the preseason preseason is almost live action, but he showed no hesitation whatsoever, like you said.
And the big thing about it, too, he comes back and he's a motivator. He's a trash talker. He's out there getting in the huddle, getting everyone fired up. I think it brings confidence to that
offense. I thought that was Tom's job.
Tom's the parameters.
Those?
The what? The parameters. You stay within these parameters.
What is going on? He's making correct predictions and he's using big words properly. What the hell is going on?
Hold off.
What has happened to him?
Hold off on that big words properly.
What?
Hold on with that big words properly.
Oh, my goodness. He did say something
about it. Thesaurus over here. Look at it.
He did say the word accountants in the earlier, whatever. So I don't know what that was.
You'll figure it out later.
Tongue getting in the way.
That's a word I don't know.
That's right. I picked it out.
I think his nose gets in the way of his tongue, and that piece presents
He was Nostradamus today.
Christian Fourier, he had been
who?
The sleuth out there, had been getting a lot of information on Edelman and said that he had been looking great now. For weeks, he had been working with Rob Ninkovich. He had been working with, is it Mark Hartswell, the old BC quarterback?
Yeah.
He had been working with him as well. And he was saying that he looked absolutely terrific.
You know, he wasn't resting around in the office when he had his, you know,
four
suspension.
Yeah.
He was working out every day. He was catching balls. Yeah. He was doing tennis ball. Everything he had to do, he was doing. So when he came here, it was amazing. He didn't miss a beat. Some of these people, how much difference does an Edelman make? How much does he mean to your offense?
But given all, knowing exactly that about him and knowing that he was working on things, I still didn't expect him to have that kind of impact. I really didn't. I thought they would ease him in a little bit. I thought maybe half the offensive plays, something like that, or whatever. But no, he was not only was he full go, he was a big part of their game plan.
I took Fourier's his reports
right.
at heart. And he was right. He was right. He looked terrific. All right, let's get to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Here's Jim in Grafton. Hello, Jim. Guys, you're going to have to put him up back. Oh, there he goes. Hello, Jim.
Jim
in Grafton.
I agree with everything you said so far, and I just want to throw a little point in there. Everything you said has been really right on point. That one Josh Groden touchdown in itself, it wasn't spectacular, but it meant so much.
That was a damn good catch.
Don't forget, he rerouted when he saw Tom running around. He reacted instantaneously and went downfield.
And
right,
caught it in between two guys.
He stepped in, his last step was a deliberate step right in between him.
It was natural.
I think it was a pretty spectacular
catch. I thought it was a spectacular catch. I got to tell you, Jim, that was a hell of a catch.
The big thing
a lot
about
of guys can't make
well, how
that.
About this? The ball going into his hands was not as totally – it wasn't Gronk going to the ground getting a ball off his shoelaces.
Yep. Nope.
But the way he put himself in position to make that catch,
exactly.
that's instinctual.
And not only that, when he grabbed the catch, he yanked it right into his body and sucked it in. No chance. This guy has strong hands. I mean, the 230-pound wide receiver.
You're right. But the point is that one catch at that one particular time when they had just got within one score signified to the defense, Brady, it took pressure off of Edelman, Hogan and Gronk for the plays they had made, those misplays they made. It helped the entire team as a whole when this guy's a factor now, and it told the rest of the league,
he's a weapon.
We got to think about this guy on defense. And
well,
now that's going to free up these other guys as well. That one play we're going to talk about 9 weeks from now and go, that set this team off offensively.
Hopefully he has a whole lot more of those and we forget about
this
one. But especially when, you know, Brady was throwing up a prayer anyway. You know, it's just
pretty good prayer.
What?
Pretty good prayer right in his chest.
I tell you what, it's a pretty good arrangement.
It's a prayer for some. Tom is just another day at the beach.
Pretty good situation when you're looking right now at Gordon, maybe your fourth receiver. All right? He's not at the top of the chart. You're looking at Gronk. You're looking at Edelman. Okay? And he's not even your third because they went to Hogan tonight as well. All right?
But I wonder how many of his routes are anything but slants because that was a slant route, remember.
Right.
It wasn't a go route. It was a slant that he cut off.
That's all he did last week.
Right.
So, in other words.
And two of his routes this week.
Well, why not keep it simple for him right from the beginning?
Agreed.
Right?
And especially if he's catching the ball. I don't care.
Feed him a little pablum.
What is he doing?
I'm going to Jeff in New Hampshire. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Great. I wanted to talk a little bit. I was encouraged to see the Patriots a little more in rhythm, you know, with the offense with Edelman coming back, and I thought that was great. But their defense is what I'm really concerned about and have been. I've been watching these guys since 1970, and I'll tell you what, I can't believe that McCourty tonight, he got burned quite a bit. I can't believe that he can't stay with a however big Ebron is, this tight end, that, you know, and then they, he went out, he got hurt, and they sent another guy in, a substitute, and he can't stay with him, and he got a touchdown.
Yeah, that was the guy that they just, was it Swoop? The guy that they just brought up, right?
But you got to remember one thing. A defensive back's best friend has a pass rush, and they didn't have any pass rush, and he was able to sit back there in the pocket with a clear view, and he's a very accurate passer. And when you have no pass rush at all, and the guys can stand there and see the whole field, it's very difficult to stay with guys for 4 seconds.
That's right, Fred. I mean, I wanted to comment on that. There was no pass rush. Luck had all day to throw the ball tonight. There was no pass rush. And I know that makes it tough from the secondary, but even still, you know, McCourty's got a job to do, and he knows what that job is. You got to stay with your man. I mean, they're going to play. He has the ability. He should have the speed. You can't be worried about what Buck's going to do or running or anything else. He's got a guy that's deep. If he goes by him, he's got to stay. You got to stay with him. You got to stay with the guy. You can't. And I know people were talking about that earlier tonight. They got to stay with. You know, when they face Kansas City, this kid Mahomes. I mean, forget it. I mean, obviously, and you know, they got a lot of weapons with Hunt and their running back and Hill. So I mean, they're going to have
Hill's
to be handful. But the
fantastic.
Defense is my. The defense
got a pretty good tight end too.
Guy.
They got one of the best tight ends in the league.
The best, Booker.
Relax. I'm not arguing you, and I'm not going to step on your toes when it comes to your worshipness of Gronk and Brady. But he's a tremendous target.
And 6'5", 260
pounds. But again, tonight was looked like offensively at least a good step forward. I would have enjoyed a little more finishing of drives and plays like the two interceptions. But we, you know, those can be figured out more than anything. If they weren't threatening and they were just a lackadaisical offense, then I'd be concerned. But it was two direct plays that were
change the tide
uncharacteristic. Yeah. You know, you don't get those plays all the time.
But I thought the offense really had some difficulty as well in the second half. Even at the end there, they had an opportunity. They could run the ball. They could have gotten Sony Michel the 100 yards.
Yep.
They could have wasted out the clock, and they could have said good night, goodbye. Instead, they handed the ball back over to the Colts. Not that the game was in jeopardy, but you're sitting there going, you can't close
it. Why make it hot on yourself?
Right, exactly.
You know, you got the
you
ball.
Don't close it out.
Third and three, third and a little less than three, you still throw the ball, and I don't know, you know, maybe at that point you try another run with Michelle or whatever it is, but in this situation, I think they were just trying to close it out the best way they know how, and that's Tom Brady's arm.
All right, here's Freddie's favorite caller. Here's Jimmy in Saugus.
Jimmy!
Hello, Jimmy.
He changed his last name from Luck to Unlucky because he can't seem to beat us.
You've had better.
Didn't play too bad today.
He's had better. I don't think he's ever had
What was his numbers?
Not that that was good. They were all bad. Excuse me?
What was Luck's numbers today?
Luck's numbers today, Freddie. He was 38 of 59. Think about this. He threw 62 passes last week. He threw 59 today.
Right. And if there was 59. Overtime, he would have thrown more.
Absolutely. 6.2 yards per catch.
Per catch or per attempt?
Per catch. Okay. Right, 6.2. Three touchdowns, two interceptions, one sack, quarterback rating of 84.4. Now, Brady's quarterback rating was 123, I think, at halftime. It ends up 102.5.
With those two crappy interceptions that weren't interceptions.
Right.
Why weren't they interceptions?
Well, you could look at it and say he wasn't responsible for either one of them. That's fair.
You said they weren't interceptions. That's what I was asking.
They weren't his bad throws.
And both of those were he threw lesser balls in the
And Hogan,
in the
you
game.
Said he had his hands upside down on that.
Yeah, you grab the ball out of the air. You don't try to
catch it with his arms.
Yeah. You don't try to cradle it into your hands with your thumbs are stronger than your pinkies. You try to grab the ball like it's coming at you. And again, the easily solvable problem there. And Gronk. An uncharacteristic fumble-ish interception.
But Brady was better than that quarterback rating of 102.5.
Yes.
He was better than
No, absolutely.
Well, that's right. The two interceptions.
Right. Victimized by those two interceptions, which were not his fault.
And they changed
it. Two drives in a row.
They actually changed it at one point. The official scorer initially said fumble, and then they changed it a little later to interception. So I don't know if the guy was employed by the NFL offices and hates Brady.
Because he had possession of the ball.
What do you think it was, Fred? They hate Brady,
well,
right?
When you have possession of the ball, it pops out. It's a fumble.
Steve, they didn't get enough out of him with the flake kid. They wanted to get a little bit more out of Brady.
You know, it's the natural thing, the refs, not to protect Brady. You hit a bunch of times, didn't call it.
Let's go to John. John's in Maine. John, hi, John.
Hey, guys. So it was really good to see that Brady was locked in tonight. Those two interceptions were obviously not his fault. The thing about the pass to Gordon is I don't think Brady's had a receiver quite like that since Randy Moss, where he could just throw up a prayer and a receiver can go in there, fight between two defenders. And
plus, he's a big man. He can muscle guys. He was he jumped right between the middle of them. He's 6'3", can jump through the roof.
I think he has
great timing.
Yeah, I think we might see some of that, John, once Brady feels comfortable out there with Gordon, because we really haven't seen that. He didn't throw the ball out there just to air it out and have Gordon go for it. You know, that was planned. And early on, it looked like he was not in the right spot. That was a problem. Brady was not connecting with him. But I agree with you. I think later on, as they start to become familiar with each other, I think you're going to see some of that. I think he's going to throw it in an area.
He was aware that Tom was running out of the pocket. And what you do is you break. You get downfield.
They have absolute assignments. There's going to be some receivers are assigned wherever they are in their route to come back towards the quarterback, and other guys are assigned to go deep, and then other guys assigned to go to the sideline. So it's not when a quarterback breaks the pocket, it's not helter skelter. They actually design what you're supposed to do, and Gordon's obviously was to go towards the corner.
And
he
was holding on Gordon by the face mask when he made his cut.
See that. I think it's got.
There was a hole. It wasn't a face mask, but there was a hole.
It looked like it was a face mask.
There was a hole. I will say this, John. I'm not worried about Gordon as a receiver. I think we all realize how talented this kid is. What we're worried about is can he keep his act together here from week to week?
I really hope he does, because it's good to see this offense firing.
They're going to get a couple days off this weekend. All right, they're going to get a couple days off this weekend. And, you know, I'm sure that they'll know exactly where he is at all times.
You know what
their
recreation is? They're going to play catch. Him and
but
Tom and Albert.
That's the thing you've got to worry about, because you're right. If he can get his act together, he's a legitimate weapon for them down the road. And then you look at the receiving core that before the season began, we're all talking about, is this going to be like 06 or 2013? Now you look at the receiving core. If Gordon can play to his potential, now you got something.
I was talking to in my radio show, and the announcer said, you know what worries me? The New England Patriots are going to be a completely different team when they go to Buffalo, because their weaponry is increased dramatically with Edelman and Gordon, you know, catching on what's going on. It opens up everything. So, you know, as much as they had whatever the score, now they're virtually unstoppable if they don't make mistakes.
Well, when you look at, you've got Edelman, you've got Gronk. Their leading receiver again tonight, guys, was James White. 14 targets. He had himself 10 catches and 77 yards. So now you're looking at White, Gronk, Edelman, and then if Gordon could do anything, you can get a little bit maybe out of Hogan, though. I've been disappointed so far on what you've got out of Hogan. And tonight I thought it was a golden opportunity. He's getting less coverage than he has in the first four games. And he's not getting a guy high up on the depth chart either. He's getting a guy down low in the depth chart.
On a defense that was already hurt anyway.
Right. And if you can get something out of Dorsett, okay. Then you've got something. Then this is
a
deep
rotation.
Receiving core, and it's very talented.
Yeah, all different guys. They run different things. And now you even have Sony in the backfield. It looks like a run, and he's going to have to start catching passes, because they're not going to be ready for it if he's back in a single set.
He's going to have to. You know that, Fred? He had one catch tonight. He was targeted one time.
Sort of screenish play.
And he got 12 yards on that play. But look at the way the NFL is right now. There's no longer running backs that are running backs, okay?
The receivers that are running backs.
He's kind of quick. He's kind of shifty. But notice once they hit him, he's going down, okay? He's going down. He's not that powerful to this point. He's got to be able to catch the ball. That's where the receiving core is. Rather, the running back, that's where the skill set is going in the National Football League.
And the good running backs that are good receivers – have control their bodies so that when they're catching it, they're not off balance. They're not. You look at Le'Veon Bell or you look at James White. When he catches the ball, it doesn't matter what position he's in. He knows how to get back to square and get upfield. So that's something else you have to learn too. With a running back is a guy that even though he caught a reasonable amount of passes in college at Georgia, still not the type of catches he's catching in the NFL. It's a guy like James White. It doesn't matter what he does when he catches the ball. He's turning and going upfield. He has that instinct that he's developed.
Notice right out of the gate, they go to Edelman. First play, boom, right to Edelman.
It's almost 12 yards?
Yeah, it was all planned. I mean, yeah, you know, 9 yards, I think. They're sitting there going, we're going to Edelman right out of the gate.
And no one expected it.
No.
Who was that little guy?
And then they got they started going to Patterson. Now it opened up everything for everybody else. So they're going to Patterson now. They're going to Gronk because suddenly the Colts are looking at it. Oh, damn, they're going to Edelman.
And Tom has the ability to get rid of the ball extremely quick because if no one's open, bang, right to Edelman.
Right. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. It is the Real Postgame Show. We're doing it live down here in Foxborough.
Defeat the Colts. Now the most comprehensive review of it begins. This is the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, and Fred Smirlis. Broadcasting from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. This is the Real Postgame Show. Here's Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, and Fred Smirlis on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Route 1, as usual, is a parking lot, but the people saw the Patriots win their third game of the season. They are now 3-2, and there seems to be a calming effect out there amongst Patriots Nation, though I will say this.
A little scared.
This wasn't perfect. This was far from perfect. We talked about it. The good news, Julian Edelman is back. The offense looked like it was flowing, certainly in that first half, not quite as sharp in the second half. The defense having themselves some difficulty in that second half as well.
You know what I was surprised about the Colts? Their pass rush is much better. I think they're like third in the league in sacks this year.
Second. Going into this game.
Going into the game, 17 sacks.
And they were getting off the ball. They were and the offensive line's intact right now. And they were beating our guys. They had good commented move in the pocket a few times. You got hit, made some phenomenal throws, beat and hit. But I was surprised how well they passed rush.
I would say the biggest concern I would have coming out of this game is the lack of any pressure on the quarterback by the defensive front.
And we saw last week pressure.
Yes, and they had none in this game. So the question is, did the Colts' offensive line do that great a job? And they've been beaten up. Because I will say this, you play Kansas City next week, you better put some pressure on Mahomes.
Okay. But you better put pressure on him.
Yes.
You got to keep him in that pocket.
No, you got to keep him in the pocket.
Once he gets out of the pocket, he's deadly. Right. He throws on the run extremely well.
He doesn't run on the run. He runs to throw the football. And he can throw, and he can throw a mile on the run.
And I think that game he just had against Denver probably was his best game of the year, even though he had 5 touchdown passes or, 14?
Yeah, the numbers weren't as good, but you're right. And he came from behind in that game
behind.
On the road, and as you know, a loud building.
In a terribly loud building and in a situation where he didn't play well in the first half.
Right.
So that sometimes when a guy he was 5-0 going into that game or something like that as a starter or 4-0 as a starter and really hadn't a whole lot of adversity, all of a sudden, he's faced with adversity with their arch rival in their arch rival's building, and he came up on top, and that showed me more than those first 3 games, which were magnificent games for him.
Right now, he's getting away with things you should never do, throwing across your body, running, and left-handed.
How about throwing the ball left-handed?
Throwing left-handed.
That's a mistake waiting to happen there.
When you're running and you're switching hands and you're throwing with the hand you're not used to.
Everybody loved it, but he tries to continue to do that, Fred. He's going to get himself in trouble.
But the thing is, he's succeeding at it right now.
Right.
He's developing habits you shouldn't have. So that's going to cost him in a game.
Seems to work for Brett Favre.
He's a lot like Brett Favre.
Yeah.
He really is a lot like Brett Favre.
That's Brett Favre used to do all those crazy things.
Well, it may continue, but I mean, most quarterbacks to do what he does.
Agreed.
There's a couple rare ones.
You're 100% correct.
The bad habits, and you look at them, when kids are abandoning coverage to come and get him, gives them wide open guys. Keep the wide open guys away. Because you said, he doesn't want to run. He wants to bait you to come up and get him.
Correct.
That's assuming you can cover those guys in the first place.
You're almost better having him run.
That's right.
The way he plays.
Just let him run. Make it 8-10 instead of 30.
I would say this. I'm happy that looking at the schedule, the game is being played next week here as opposed to Kansas City.
With a lot of rest.
I'm not sure this team would be ready for them in Kansas City. I feel a lot better with the game being played here.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. All right, let's get to
– I don't.
You don't agree?
No.
You think they would have won in Kansas City?
They'd kill them anyway.
Oh, my God. Oh, please.
Come on. You had a
my
good
prediction.
Night. You had a good night predicting, all right?
Yeah, now, I'm on a roll.
I told you it was about to end, didn't I?
On a roll.
But you notice he got a little shaky in the second half?
He did get shaky.
I just stopped talking about that. Yeah.
Now, let's get to the phone calls.
What are the odds of that?
We go to Jay. Jay is in Franklin.
Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Freddie, you're the man. Hey, real quick, before I get to Sony Michel, friend Steve, Twin River, Lincoln, Rhode Island, Jeff Deal for Senate.
But right, Freddie, so you get all the talk, you get all the talking points in.
Thank you, sir. 100% agree.
What a plant this is.
But before I get there, all pro tailgate. But hey, the real reason.
wait, 877 Pats fan.
It's a bigger plant than terrible. I
saw. Right, you're a full grown tree, brother.
When did your cousin get the phone number for this?
Thank you, Frank.
Jay, the check is in the mail. You're all set, buddy.
Thank you, Glenn. I really miss Freddie on the big show. You got to bring him back in the afternoon.
They banned me for some reason.
Sony Michel, the real reason I called, can he develop into more of a pass receiving back?
I think like he's going to have to, don't you? He has to.
He'll get better. He'll get better. It wasn't a point of emphasis, although he did have a decent amount, I think, like, I don't know, 50 or 60 career receptions in college. So that's fine, but in today's NFL, the good running backs can catch the ball, and he'll learn. He'll learn that Tom Brady's 9 times out of 10 is going to put the ball where it's supposed to be, and he's going to be able to run the play as it's drawn up. So once he starts developing those skills, I think he'll be fine.
The thing that this whole league is different than the old league, like you said, the evolution of a back in order to be a great back has to be a good pass-catching back. You know, they have to be a versatile back. You have to be.
It's a passing game.
It is. So if you're going to be in a game, if you want to be put in a game when you're down, you have to be a running back that can catch out of the backfield and the adjustments that Tom wants you to make.
Look at the ones that are successful now. Gurley and Alvin Kamara and you.
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. And that's what you've got to do. Plus, the defense doesn't know what you're doing.
Right.
You can line up anywhere.
Right.
And they don't know if you're running or you're catching.
One thing that doesn't change is it's always been a matchup game. And if you all of a sudden have a guy like James White that can line up in a slot or line up all the way outside, that presents a matchup nightmares, and that's what it's about.
You could go into a five-man receiving with White. He could come out as a receiver.
Think
that's
about
a big
option. You have Gronk and White there in the same in the same play. You could go five wides and not miss a beat.
Right.
You know, that's what coaches want to do. They want to exploit every possible mismatch they can.
I don't think White is a great runner, but the fact that he's such a good
– he's a crafty runner.
Right. He can catch the ball.
Right.
Suddenly now it makes him so versatile. He's very difficult to defend.
But what do the Patriots love to do? Every team loves to do with the matchups. When you have a team that's matchup, you come out with Gronk, like you said, at tight end, White in the backfield, so they bring bigs in. Next thing you got bigs, and you spread out the five wides. They don't have the guys to cover. You get mismatches, linebacker on White. That's what they want to do. And then Buffalo did it all the time with Thurman Thomas. If he develops a pass catching, he'll be – because when he's in there now, they know they're going to run.
Well, you know what you see in this league. You're seeing five DBs out there. You're seeing six DBs out there. There are times you see seven DBs out there because the game has changed. The linebacker position has changed now. It's almost like safety's playing up there. It's a much different game than when you played, Steve, in linebackers day and night.
There would be no place for me in this league right now. There's no call for a
running
stuffing.
Back, long snapper.
What? Still long step. Long step is still there.
Would have been safer and easier.
Offensive center.
You know?
Center. Here's Mike in a car. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Mike. What do you got?
Good. First off, if Big Ben had gotten hit in the helmet right away on that roughing the passer, he would have folded like a card house. So, I mean.
You mean Brady doesn't flop?
He didn't there.
No, but he doesn't, though, I mean, usually,
he
right?
He doesn't flop. It's Tom Brady.
That call benefited us, but I'm still not a fan of that call. But what I wanted to call about is...
Well, when you hit a quarterback in the head with your fist, it's going to be called every time.
I understand that. I'm just not a fan of it. I think it's still taken away from the game. But what I wanted to call about is we know that Indianapolis, they can't run. They have no running game. So...
They didn't run too bad today.
They ran better than I thought they were going to run.
5 and 6 yards a pop.
Because I would agree. Coming into this game, looking at the way they were playing, they didn't seem to run the ball well at all. I thought they ran it pretty well tonight. They had 84 yards. That's not bad.
They probably ran it well tonight because you're thinking that Andrew Luck, again, is going to pass, you know. Well,
they passed pretty well, 50, too. 50
I just passes, think the defense didn't do a great job against
the defense did not. They were getting moved. Every time they hit the running back, Steve, even at line of scrimmage, right, he was pushing them for three.
It wasn't terrible, but based on what Indy's capable of doing, it wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't that good but at all. And looking at Miami, Miami has a better running game. Better running game than the Colts, and they were shut down Miami completely.
But when we know Andrew Luck's going to throw 60 times and their top two receivers are out and he still throws 365 for three touchdowns on us, I think it's pretty alarming. I think that's, you know, kind of where we need to concentrate. We got the W, but, you know, I'm not feeling real good about it.
What do you want to do about it?
What defense do you think is the Pittsburgh?
Again, we're not talking about
the
teams.
No, but I'm saying the defenses around the league aren't great.
The team you're going to face next week, Kansas City's defense is horrible. Their offense is great.
Listen, the days of the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens are gone.
You can't play the 90 Giants.
It's gone.
But you can't do that anymore, Frank.
No, you can't beat up receivers. Right. It's different.
The game has changed.
Right.
You can't touch anybody. You know, you were just talking about it, Mike. You can't touch a quarterback anymore, right? And so plays get extended now with these stupid roughing the passer calls.
You know we weren't going to stack the box because they, you know, weren't going to run it as much. So when we play, you know, conservative, and he still puts up 365 without –
Who did they play last week?
How are we going to compete against Kansas City?
Yeah, but hold on. Who did they play last week? They played
– You can outscore them.
They played Texas last week. They had a pretty good defense.
Played Miami last week.
I mean, right? I'm talking about the Colts.
Colts. Oh, yeah, Colts.
They played – and they put up – he had 440 yards against a good pass rushing team. They have decent DBs.
Right.
Right, and they put up 440 yards. So – they've been putting up points, and they just let up a lot of points. That's the problem.
Yeah, but this wasn't a group of great receivers
by
the Colts tonight. You're going to get much better receivers next week against Kansas City. Not even close.
Oh, cool. But Luck, you know, Luck today played extremely
well. Kelce, just the tight end.
This is the best I've seen him throw with velocity. He had time to throw, but that you're right. It's not a great team,
Ebron,
but they still put up.
Ebron destroyed them in this game tonight,
right,
Fred.
And
nine catches for 105 yards.
And
next week, look at Kelce.
The problem
is much better than Ebron.
Kelce's a great tight end. Ebron's an above-average tight end.
He was wide open almost every play.
Yep.
Yes.
That's something they didn't pay attention to him. I don't know. It's Kelce's they're going to pay attention to. You're right. He killed them, and he should know.
Last week, you had Chris Harris was defending Kelce last week in that game. They put their best corner on Kelce, try to take him out of the game. Here's Dino in Jersey. What do you got, Dino?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Dino?
So a couple of things. The only throw that I thought Brady made a bad throw was on our last drive. We could have closed it out.
Yep.
We had the third and three. He had wide open at the sticks, and he just threw it into the ground.
Yeah.
But other than that, Hightower looks like he's got cement shoes. I mean, on one play, it looked like they ran counter, and the runner was running directly at him, and all he had to do was come fill. And instead, he ran into the middle, opening up the hole. This was the first drive the Colts scored in the second half, and the guy went for like 25 yards right through his gap, right? What do you always say? You got to have gap containment, right? You got to play your position, got to do your job. And the next thing is Flowers. Right, he's our best pass rusher. Could either one of you, because you're a defensive guy, please explain to me why our best pass rusher is just standing out in space and not rushing the passer?
He was rushing the pass, but it wasn't.
No, he wasn't. He was sitting. Watch when you watch the film, and I'll call you back. So you watch the film. He's just out in the flat. It wasn't like he was jamming, trying to get a jam on a tight end. He was just dropping out and like
into his own.
Literally,
how often do you think that happened?
Three times.
What's that?
If he's going to go to an area, he's going to go to his
own. How often do you think that happens?
No. In the second half, they were doing it constantly.
Yeah. I noticed they rushed three guys a number of times in the second half.
But
and
why
I don't
is
know if
our
that
best
was
pass rusher not one of the guys rushing?
Maybe by formation. Who knows? I'm not sure. Yeah, sometimes.
Because, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, doesn't it make sense? Like, you're saying how the game's changed. It's different. And you know, I mean, the only chance you have is to get a little bit of pressure, try to rush a couple of throws.
That's when he was rushing, he wasn't getting pressure.
Fred's point was that even when he was rushing the passer, he wasn't getting there.
He wasn't getting there when he was
rushing. He was going through two blockers, too, actually, when he was a part of that sack early on in the game.
He's a great player. Just having him stand in space, to me, is useless.
Well, this part of a defense is a zone area when he wants to drop in it, whatever, because they were dink and dunking a lot.
I
don't know exactly what the game plan was. But when they're doing that, they're doing that particular reason.
Quarterback, he was at least getting a little bit of a push.
Virtually no push at all.
What's that?
Yeah, he had the one play where he got half a sack, him and Chung, yeah, met at the quarterback.
Yes, if you look at the film in the second half, most of the time he was like lining up out wider, and if he did line up on the line of scrimmage like he was coming, he dropped off. Like
I would bet that wasn't most of the time.
You're overemphasizing it because I saw him a bunch of times rushing, and I figured he could beat the backup.
Two guys were picking up on him.
Two guys, yeah. They're rushing three and four.
Yeah,
but nobody was.
But
getting
nobody,
pressure.
Nobody didn't Flowers. We're not sitting here trying to tell you Flowers played a great game getting pressure on the quarterback because it didn't happen. He had the one play where him and Chung met the quarterback, but that was about it. You can sometimes do those things if your defense is only going to rush three guys. One of the two outside guys on the line are going to have to drop one way or the other into a flat usually. So I don't know if that was I don't think it was the game plan. It might have been a formation scenario. You're obviously not going to try to take your best pass rusher out of the equation. But on the same account, when he was pass rushing, which was a majority of the pass plays, he wasn't getting much pressure anyway.
Well, not only that, they have no pass rush lanes. You're supposed to stay in lanes to keep it apart.
They did break down. Compared to last week, against Houston, they were very good at it.
A couple times, Glenn, I said, look, they're in a cluster in the middle. There's three guys in the middle. He steps to the left or right, and he has a wide open clear, at least getting his face so he pushes him back so he doesn't get the clear view like that.
He was talking about Hightower. I thought Hightower made some big plays in the first half, and I'm wondering, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them because certainly – the defense didn't play well in the second half. First half, I thought they played pretty well.
Not bad.
It could be this Thursday night game. We see this every single week. You don't get the best out of these teams on Thursday night. It's a quick turnaround. You guys played the game. Imagine you didn't play Thursday night, right? You might have played Thanksgiving Day or whatever.
Yep.
That is a quick turnaround to try to get your body and getting beaten up on a Sunday, and then 3 days later,
the Colts pass rushers were pretty effective pass rushing. Tom moved into the pocket. He got hit a bunch of times. They threw the ball quickly, but they were getting a lot of pressure.
Well, they have a better pass rushing team than the Patriots.
They
do.
Yeah.
I know. They didn't look like they were fatigued in the pass rush. And also a depleted
They did
line.
On that first drive.
Yeah, they did.
On the first drive, that's right. When they were doing that hurry-up offense.
They looked tired, but as it progressed, they were getting better pressure.
Yeah, but the first half, the Patriots really moved the ball on
them.
They really moved the ball on them. And in the second half, you're right. There's no question about that. Here's Freddie in a car. Freddie.
I'm right here.
Yo,
Freddie.
Freddie. Oh, guys. I appreciate it.
How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm all right. I just want to say, man, tonight was a roller coaster game. A lot of great things happened. A lot of ugly things happened. But I really think Edelman and Gronk crapped down their pants tonight. In the first quarter.
Edelman did?
That monster drop in the first quarter, I thought, just absolutely destroyed momentum. We bounced back with the
24-3
missed kick, obviously. But and Gronk with that he just hot potatoed it directly into the Colts' hands for the interception, man. It killed me.
Right, he's done that twice now.
I think he got hit. Didn't he get hit? Did he just drop
the
ball?
He got hit.
Yeah, but he didn't have the tight ball tight.
He didn't have the ball tight to his chest.
Right, not disagreeing, but if you look at the games that they play, what were Gronk's numbers today? Gronk? I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm mad, Reed. I'm just talking. But yeah, dude, I had a bad view of it, I guess, in the stadium. But from my perspective, it looked pretty avoidable. But
Gronk had 7 targets. He made 6 catches for 75 yards.
Yeah, not a bad day.
So are you saying I crapped out?
Edelman had 9 targets, 7 catches, 57 yards.
But the point about Gronk's drop, he's on the 2-yard line, or 3-yard line. The game's going to be ended there.
You're both talking. I can't hear either one of you, so you're both talking.
He's upset that they won. Edelman's throw is off when he dropped that. You know that's rarity for him. And Gronk fumble and
well, he's right about that. And Hogan,
that was a huge
was a killer because they were
on the 20-yard line.
Right, they were in Indy territory, and the same one with the Gronk one, as you said, they were down, in deep into the red zone. But overall, I don't see gloom and doom with this game. I certainly don't see it with Edelman. That was a drop pass along the sideline. Took his eye off of it. I'll give you that. Overall, for the first game back, I thought Edelman was spectacular.
He didn't miss a beat.
No.
Running his routes quick.
I thought he was great.
He accelerated and ran down the sideline.
I don't think you could find much fault.
No.
Now, that was a drop pass along the sideline. He should have caught that pass. And he does.
And he made a couple of difficult passes.
19 out of 20 times.
Yeah.
He did. And he again, yards after the catch. He had a couple of nice runs after the catch, spinning away from traffic and getting another 10 yards. Yep. He did. So there was a lot of that. I was extremely impressed with him. And I thought Gronk overall had more space to operate with now with Edelman out there. The fumble. Was the killer.
One of the great catches he made. He 6'6" guy, dug one right off the ground.
Yep.
That was a very difficult catch. So he caught
a few
balls.
How about the one they caught with the roll?
Yeah.
And he rolled over. That was another big catch. So I disagree with him. I thought both Gronk and Edelman were pretty good in this game, other than the two plays he brought up. The one that Edelman dropped. Okay, it happens. The Gronk one can't happen, and it usually does not happen with Gronk.
And he gets whacked by a lot of people.
Right.
There's always a lot of guys around that's hitting the ball. He holds it on tight. That one just slipped out of his hands.
Too much pliability. That's what it is. Remember the old days when he'd be lifting instead of using bands? See, he was strong. He'd be able to hold on to that ball. All right, 617-779-7937. Real post-game show until 2 a.m.
Let's get you back to the Real Postgame Show as we take a closer look at the Pats' big-time win over the Colts. Talk about it now on the Real Postgame Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm back here on the Real Postgame Show. Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirlis, and Steve Diassi. Another Patriots win. They are now above 500. As they go 3-2, people were panicking after the first couple games. The offense looks like it is coming together, and if they can get anything out of Josh Gordon, certainly they seem to be getting something out of Sony Michel. He's pretty damn good again tonight. Didn't suck, didn't blow. Looked pretty good out there.
Right.
And he seems to get better every single game.
Now, do you think that swell of optimism we saw after the Miami game was tempered a little bit today?
Yeah.
Because nobody expected
They expected a huge blowout tonight.
Exactly right.
They didn't get the blowout.
So maybe that enthusiasm because of blowing out Miami gets tempered a little bit today, and people aren't as wild about things as they are. But next week is
the real test.
Next week is a test.
Yeah.
Well, you saw flaws today that we thought they took care of. You know, the defensive line playing better, getting better pass rush. They didn't do it
last week. Yeah, right.
You know, they played terrible against the Lions where they weren't getting off the ball. They're getting pushed around. And a little bit more of that happened today. Although, you know, the quarterback played well. Coverage wasn't great. No pass rush. We were expecting that stuff, and it didn't happen.
I thought there were some baby steps along the way with their offense. Certainly infusing Edelman into the lineup. The Gordon thing was more encouraging again here tonight. Sony Michel with another strong running effort. So you're seeing some positive things. Defense, I think, is going to take longer because they don't have the personnel defensively that they have on the offensive side. So it's going to be more scheme, Fred. It's going to be more trying to jury-rig what they've got to be able to slow down offenses.
What could you change?
Personnel-wise, you're not going to change it.
No, Brown Tripper, he really has been a non-factor the whole year.
Well, and you've got guys like Claiborne and Shelton that still haven't done an awful lot. You're still waiting for them to do some stuff. But next week will be a real test. But we've said it all along. People judge them game to game early in the season.
True.
That's not what the Patriots are. The Patriots improve from the beginning of the season
to
the end of the season.
They're working progress for 4-8 games.
They're shaky for the first 6-7 weeks.
Right.
You know, they're going to beat the piss poor teams, and they're going to struggle, maybe win if they're playing at home, maybe lose on the road against the teams that are really good. It's what are they going to be like when you get to the end? I'll say this about Kansas City. I'm not sold on Kansas City. I love the personnel on the offensive side of the ball, but you tell me, what is Andy Reid's history? Andy Reid's history is he's good early on in the season.
A bit late, yeah.
Late in the season and in the playoffs, he has trouble. Clock management, the game speeds up on him where other coaches seem to out-coach him.
Well, the gimmicks, they understand the gimmicks more. They understand the player personnel coming. They understand them all the different motions they do, how to play a different
But stuff. You can figure that out with a lot of video. When you have a lot of scouting, when you are able to sit down and watch exactly what Kansas City is doing, then you can kind of adjust yourself and come up with a game plan to beat Kansas City. This coaching staff is going to have 10 days. To try to figure out this Kansas City offense. Last year it was game one. They had a Kareem Hunt. They didn't really understand or know what he was going to be. After he fumbled the ball on a first possession.
Tyreek Hill, too.
Right. He was a major player for that game.
The whole season for him.
Yes.
It was tremendous.
So,
agreed, but it just seems like the angst or the anxiety with Patriots fans this season about this slow start that the Patriots has, that we've seen a number of times. It seems like there's more anxiety about it this year than in previous years, and I'm wondering if that
running out of time, they think.
Running out of time, or does that have to do with Tom not being at OTAs, the various intrigues that we heard with Gronk.
Change of personnel in different areas.
And all those different things going on. It feels like just talking to people and listening to people that there's more anxiety about what's going on with the Patriots than would be warranted.
Okay, well, first of all, they showed the chart of the teams that won the Super Bowl and how they started. You know,
the Patriots teams.
The Patriots. And you saw 2-2, 1-3, you know, all these different stats. And the same thing happened. The rhetoric was that season's doesn't look like the
well,
team.
Well, no, the 1-3 was the Brady's first year where Bledsoe got hurt. So it's hard to
count
that one.
But they showed, you know, 2-2. They showed a bunch of them that time. We heard the same rhetoric every time, even all the times.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think it seems even more so this year after the early start of the Patriots than it has in previous seasons where they've stumbled out of the blocks.
Well, they're talking about all the bickering. Is there, you know, is there ruffles between?
Well, there's more intrigue. There's
more
intrigue,
fake news.
But there's more.
I don't think it was fake.
No fake news.
I think
Brady
was not
at OTAs, was
right?
he?
No. I said the amount of friction is. We don't know how much it is because no one's in.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brady's been here for 18 years. He wanted a little break. He knows everything there is to know.
And yet,
would
you say that he probably is not as sharp as we've seen him in the past?
At times, but I've seen him in the past start early in the first four games.
I would say this, Steve. This is when I'll start panicking.
Because there was less weapons to go to when Edelman was out. And, you know, and of course, Gordon wasn't playing.
Excuses.
They didn't have a lot of weapons.
I'm sorry.
That's fact.
You okay?
Excuses.
Facts.
Sorry. Sorry. Excuse me.
Those are facts.
Just sneezing.
A little bit of Edelman comes
just
back.
Sneezing.
Remember.
Sorry. Bless me.
They won the – when Gronk was out, they won Super Bowls with Edelman. They didn't win without Edelman.
I would say this. This is when I'll start panicking. When I actually watch two or three games in a row, four games in a row, and I say to myself, uh-oh, Brady is starting to fall off that cliff, the Max Kellerman cliff. When I start seeing that, then I'm going to panic.
You'll be too old to talk when you see
maybe.
That.
Maybe. But then I'll say that may amazing. Very well be.
We'll be in wheelchairs together.
Exactly. But that's when I'll sit there and say, okay, this thing is over. They've got real problems
right now.
I'm not seeing that.
Nope.
I thought he was damn good tonight.
He was good.
He was damn good. Two interceptions that really were not his fault.
Were very good passes.
He was damn good again tonight. You're not seeing any of that. But getting back to what you see with these other teams, let's see what they look like in Week 12 and Week 13. We've seen this before where teams get off to good starts, and then they start to get exposed. And you know what it's like. It's a season of attrition. You start losing key players, and let's see if the next man up works. You may not have the next man up. All right? We'll see what happens with Kansas City when that happens. For all of the personnel that the Rams have defensively, they haven't been good defensively so far this year. Their offense is awesome. It's phenomenal.
Well, you wonder, with both those teams, you wonder if some of that is teams just flinging the ball to try to keep up to those offenses, because both those offenses are scoring points at a prolific pace. So you just wonder if some of that is that offenses are just throwing the hell out of the ball, trying to just keep up to what Kansas City or the Rams have been doing. That's always been part of the equation.
Teams are going to have to do that.
Right.
You know? And who knows? Maybe there are some surprise teams out there. We're going to see the Bears in 2 weeks.
Right.
Khalil Mack has made a difference in that defense.
Sure.
Okay?
So is Trubisky, though, too.
And Trubisky had 6 touchdown passes last week.
Not him.
Mahomes has 5 touchdown passes on a Thursday night, and it gets eclipsed on Sunday. Ridiculous.
But that's the league. The league is way up in touchdown passes.
But the biggest strength of the Patriots is scheming. Right, and the versatility because of the players they have.
That's why they're better in Week 12 through 16.
You know, they adjust other teams. That's why you see them. They can change in the middle of a game completely what they're doing.
Right.
And all of a sudden they come out in the third quarter. They're getting killed in the first half. What happened? They adjust.
Yeah.
They can analyze, dissect, and put a new game plan within.
Well, Steve was saying this earlier. The game is really a game of mismatches. So you try to mismatch. You look at where the weak spot is on the other team. What Belichick does, I think, extremely well is understands the weak spots on his team, and he covers up for them. He schemes around them to try to cover up for them, you know?
And he
plays to his strength, and he tries to hide his weaknesses. That takes time.
And the big thing he does, when he doesn't have great personnel, the big thing they have to do is not make mistakes. Don't lose contain.
Not give up big plays.
You saw it even games they were losing. They should have been getting killed, and they're only down by 13 points. You know, when we're playing the Lions, they're getting destroyed, but they're still within the game because they didn't give up big plays. The offense couldn't get going, but that's what they do best. They prevent you from making big plays. They take away what you want to do and make you what you don't want to do, even though they don't put stops. People say, I want to see them stop more. Well, generally, we always see them in the top five points allowed.
And yards is way down.
That's right.
And it's because they're willing to give up 60 yards, let you move up and down the field. They're just not going to give you the big play. In the end zone, gets seven.
It's so much easier to defend the final 25 yards of the field than it is to defend the entire field. Right. It's just a fact. And Bill Belichick's embraced that for as long as I can remember. It was one of those scenarios where we would be so intent on red zone defense to the point where it was a full day of practice. So Friday was red zone, red zone, red zone, red zone. And it didn't matter. You could run whatever you want. It didn't matter. We knew what was going on, and we were usually pretty good at stopping it. And Belichick understands that. He's not caught up in statistics other than not letting them in the end
wins
zone.
Wins and losses is the only statistic.
That's how you don't let them in the end zone.
Get three, or, Steve, they want them to go 13 or 14 play drives because they'll make more mistakes. There's more of the balls being handled. They don't want to give them one big play to get in or two big plays. They'd rather have them go the long way.
Chance of a penalty or a turnover.
Here's the one stat that I think if you can look through the years – and the success of the New England Patriots is always a key, and they're always at the top of this list, and they aren't right now. And that's the giveaway-takeaway number, okay? So right now, New England is 14th, tied for 14th in the league. Right now, even zero, okay? So they have seven takeaways, and they have seven giveaways.
Well, that's a product that we haven't seen Tom Brady have two interception games that often, and he's had a couple of them already.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is historically one of the best quarterbacks ever at protecting the football and not throwing the football away. And the running backs on the whole don't fumble a lot. And we haven't seen fumbles pretty much. We saw a fumble from Gronk today, even though they called it an interception, whatever. And we saw a misplayed ball by Hogan today too. So
that takeaway number's low too, Steve. They're not taking the ball away an awful lot.
Okay, so all of a sudden by the end of the season, you extrapolate it, you have 22, 23 takeovers. That's fine when Brady's only throwing three or four interceptions a year.
Right.
That's a plus 16 or 17.
So making sure you handle the ball. Don't drop the ball. Those plays, two in a row, that could have been devastating to a high-powered team. Two possessions in a row, you lose the ball, one on the 20-yard line and one on the 1-yard line.
Right.
That could have shut him down.
All right, we're going to get right back to your phone call. 617-779-7937 of the final hour of the Real Post Game Show. If you miss Brady, you miss Belichick, miss the guys, we'll let you hear some of that stuff as well as we roll on into the wee hours of the morning.
This is the Real Post Game Show. The Pats defeat the Colts. Discuss it now on the Real Post Game Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
It was great. There's some things that obviously we have to work on, but it was good to get out there and catch some rocks and go out and make some plays and be with the fellas. I haven't played football in probably, I think it was like 405 days or something like that. So it was good to be out there in front of the crowd. They were rocking. They were awesome. Seeing all them was amazing. So it was just great to be back.
That's Julian Edelman. He was terrific tonight. I would say he's the Patriots player of the game because he changed the offense dramatically.
Since you're the big O, I guess we don't have a choice.
What's your choice?
Let me guess.
Brady,
hold on.
I don't know. Who had three touchdowns in the
Gronk?
Field?
Gronk? Two interceptions?
No, he's going to go with Brady.
There was no interception.
He threw two interceptions.
Brady was great tonight.
Gordon? That catch was just tremendous.
Who threw that?
Did Edelman change the offense entirely, would you say?
No. Brady.
He's unbelievable.
I would say he's third.
It's not
Edelman
enough.
Edelman was third?
When's the last time Josh caught a touchdown? 1968? It was been a while.
1968. It's been a while.
Think about
it. Well, the guy's been suspended for 2 years.
I understand that. That's a big thing, guys.
It's okay.
Let's make it a happy thing.
It's okay.
Let's make it something.
Who had a bigger game? Would you say Edelman? You have a legitimate gripe with Brady tonight. Because Brady, I thought, was terrific. He was terrific. The two interceptions were not his fault. We agree.
They shouldn't be counted as interceptions.
Right. So if you'd like to name Tommy, your guy.
Brady, Tommy,
had,
it is.
He had a great first
I'll
half.
I'll let you do that. You do
it. You know, the
you
game
want.
Is two halves. Tom had a great first half.
Two halves make a whole.
I know. And he only
without
had one
Tom,
of them.
There's a huge
he only
hole.
Had one of them, right?
So, Tommy, you want Tom Brady?
I'll give him half because he only had a good
half. Edelman and Brady.
No, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
You said
half.
To something.
If you give him half, who gets the other half?
Hey, Steve, you know Fred's motto. Everyone gets a trophy.
That's right. I remember.
The two guys responsible. Tom Brady, you got to say, is in the mix, correct?
Because without Tom, who's going to throw at him the ball?
It's your.
You
it's
got
your,
Steve. You're finally
Fred,
making sense.
Hoyer.
You're
Fred,
a Hoyer.
It's your.
You're a big Hoyer.
It's your pick. Your choice, okay?
Tom. Okay.
You tell me who you want.
I don't know, Tom.
Tom Brady. Here you go. Today's Patriots player of the game, Tom Brady. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. Poor Julian Edelman's driving
next,
right now.
Next week. He'll do a little
stiff
more.
Wow.
I think it was good. It was one of the wheels on the truck.
Listen, your man Tom love was for the Brady is getting worse
it's called
by the year.
You guys just want to be fair.
Is that
Let's
what
be
it is?
Fair. Tom Brady's beautiful.
I don't think I was being – we were.
No, we were like
– Normally you're not fair.
I thought Edelman changed the entire offense.
He opened it up for Brady.
Opened it up for Gronk.
Yep.
Opened it up for Hogan, who didn't take advantage of it.
Hogan might have been MVP for the other team, though.
He's sitting there secretly hoping that Tom's listening and feels good about Fred.
He texted me, said
making
he's listening.
His case.
He's not listening. He's just listening to music right now.
Yep.
He's just chilling, eating some more of that green stuff he eats.
Spirulina.
Oh, right.
Have you ever tried it?
What is
it?
Greek.
It's awful.
It's Greek.
It's not Greek.
What is it, Spiro?
What's wrong with you?
It's
just
anything
what
Spiro
is Spirulina?
Greek.
No, it's like
Spirulina.
It's like beans.
green powder.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is awful.
But what do you
Greece.
Put it on?
Oh, my God.
It's like a spice?
It looks like a spice, yeah. It's like a powder.
Like you put it on steak?
He puts
it
on everything, apparently.
Because he eats meat.
Really?
Listen, he's in better shape than all of us. So
we're in shape like donuts.
Yeah. If round is a shape, yeah, we've got round is a shape. So
we're real rounded around the waist.
We're good. We got that done. I'm in shape.
Not like jiggling when you're running.
Oh, please.
I'm
going
to knock him.
All right, fine. We'll give it to Brady.
Give it to Brady. Give it to Brady.
I'm telling you what.
Jeez.
If you continue this unabashed man love for Tom Brady, at some point you're going to have to admit that he doesn't play a good game when he doesn't play
I
a good
shall.
Game. When did you last do that?
When you had a bad game.
When was that?
When you were a kid.
When
you were in the project, stealing money.
What is wrong with you?
Here's another one that's amazing. Adam Vinatieri, you said it earlier, Fred. What was it, a 54-yard?
Yeah, he hit a 54.
Drilled it.
That would have been 65.
Oh, my God. Easily. He's 45 years old. It is unbelievable. Gray hair and all. And he is out there. And
he still loves it. The big thing is loving it still. He keeps in shape. You know, it's hard when you get to be older. I don't want to stay in shape. I want to drink beer and eat chips. I want to eat garbage. You don't want to be in shape all the time. And so you put your feet up and don't work out as that. He's still in the phase where he loves to be there.
Would you be surprised to see him kick again next year?
No, I would not. I think he still looks great.
That 54-yarder would have been good from 60.
It would have been.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. He made up for the miss.
Outdoors.
Doesn't kick off, though.
No.
So you just get a punter
and kick off. When he can kick a 60-yard field goal, why can't he kick off?
Agreed. When you have that kind of I mean, his percentage is great. I mean,
well, the problem with kicking off right now is, isn't it a different lift on the thing? And right now what you've got to do is what Gostkowski does. You've got to start them at the 25-yard line. All right, Belichick tried, if you remember, when they changed
Bunch
the rule.
Times, yeah.
He tried to do it, you know, tried to get him inside the 5-yard line.
Yep. You have to
it could be a little bit dangerous.
Team,
and the kickoffs are different now because you can't leave early anymore. You got to wait until the ball is kicked before you can leave.
Everything is geared to kick it out of the end zone because they don't want
safety.
And you're lining up on the
safety.
You're
issue.
Lining up where the ball is, so you don't get that 5 or 6 yard running start either.
Right.
So, yeah, it's I get it. That's fine, but. That might
protect the players.
Well, that's fine. But what I'm saying is the if Vinatieri doesn't have to kick off, then
who's kicking for
if
him?
He's 45 years the punter. If he's 45 years old, or I think it's the punter.
No,
one year they had a kickoff specialist. I remember that for Vinatieri. But the fact that he's kicking the ball. His number of kicks over 50 yards over the last few years is ridiculous.
They said he was in the in practice, he was bagging them from 60 yards the whole time.
Yeah, Sanchez is both the kickoff guy and the punter.
And the punter, yeah. But they had one year they had a separate guy. Just a kickoff specialist. I don't remember when that was, but it might have been when
That's hard, man. When you're tying up a roster spot like that, that you'd have three guys.
Right.
So you have a punter, a kickoff guy.
Well, they had that great punter. Who was the loudmouth?
Oh, yeah. The drunk guy.
Yeah. Pat something.
Pat my leg or something like that.
No, it was.
But he's, I tell you, you talk about ageless.
He was the one that Peyton Manning just ripped apart one
That's
day.
Right.
Remember
yeah.
that?
That's right. Yeah, don't listen
Everyone
to that,
hated
don't listen
him.
To that drunken kicker. Yeah. Yep, that's exactly. It was
destroyed
it
was
a,
him.
I think his father played too. So anyway.
So this weekend we're going to see a rivalry renewed between the Red Sox and the Yankees. I'm not sure I'm ready to say that the rivalry has been renewed with the Indianapolis Colts.
No.
I think that rivalry
has
gone well.
Are you scared of the Yankees?
I'm a little bit concerned, yeah, going into tomorrow night's
game.
9 out of 10,
they won.
Doesn't make a difference. I don't throw all that stuff out, Fred. I mean, right now it all comes down to what are you going to get out of Chris Sale tomorrow night? If Chris Sale goes 6 2/3 or 7 tomorrow night and he gives up, let's say, a couple of runs, maybe 2 runs, you're going to feel pretty good about that, right? But
they do have some bats, though.
I don't know what to expect out of Chris Sale tomorrow. I really don't. And – you know, J-Hap has been terrific against this entire lineup, and they're going to have to score runs. And because I think J-Hap's going to go out there and pitch a strong game.
And even Judge wasn't hitting home runs near the pace before he got hurt.
Right.
The
he
fact
looks healthy
is
again.
He looks healthy, yeah. And
that
he's a threat no matter what.
Yeah.
And Stanton, I mean, did they break the all-time record for home runs in the regular season? The Yankees?
No,
or their own record, whatever it was. Their own,
yeah, maybe their own record.
Which, considering it's the Yankees, that's a pretty good record. They've got some bats. They've got some guys that can wail on it. And if you're not getting your best efforts out of Sale and Price, now you're back. Now you're into the number three, number four starter. Maybe
and those
not,
teams
maybe
know
not
each other
four,
so
maybe
well.
Not
it's
the
another
four.
Fact,
but
so the Yankees put Severino out there in the wild card game, and I think a big part of that was strategy to get Jay Happ in 2 games, game 1 and game 5 against the Red Sox. Because Happ's numbers, his earned run average over the last 3 years against the Red Sox is 1.98. Phenomenal. It's off the charts.
So that worries you.
Yeah. So, and I love this hitting lineup of the Red Sox, but this is one guy they don't hit. And the one guy that does hit him is Pierce. And suddenly Pierce is going to be in those games
right.
when Happ is pitching. But what does Sale do tomorrow? And if they lose that game tomorrow,
how long they hang him in there?
Right.
Oh, there'll be a quick hook if he doesn't have it.
Well, considering
see what his velocity is like in the first couple
right
of innings.
If he's down
he's
right
throwing
to the
at 90 again.
Yeah, like you gotta, that one starts.
Yeah, you got to worry about him.
It's throwing it underhand.
And how do you feel if they lose that game and you've got David Price going on Saturday, a guy who I think is a great pitcher? He's been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball in this decade. But do you feel good about
And the
about
second
him
half of the season, he was very good, too, this year. I mean,
this
but
is the postseason.
But it's the postseason. That's the question.
He's never won a playoff game.
How many
he's
playoff?
Nine.
Nine
of them.
But the Red Sox, what was the stat I read the other day? The Red Sox pitching staff, the starters, how many wins in the 19 games, no wins. Is that right?
Zero wins, 19 starts.
Right.
Correct.
That's not good.
No. Yeah. That's an unbelievable number. Unbelievable number.
If it was 4 or 5 games, you're not worried about it, but it's 19 starts.
So what I think you want to
see. At least he's consistent.
So what I think you want to see tomorrow night is I think you want to see that lineup getting to Happ early in the game. So you take a little bit of the pressure off of Sale. Sale takes you into the 7th inning, let's say, or 6 2/3, something like that. And then you're good. Then that's pretty good. But you got to get runs early in that game, I think, to kind of give him some a little bit of support. Finally get to J-Hap, something that they have not been able to do at all.
Yeah, and that's the last thing you want to do is start having to hyper-rely on your bullpen.
Wear that out.
Which is not good.
There's too many. There's a ton of questions. That's the thing. You know.
That's why I think Sale could solve a lot of your problems with a great outing tomorrow night.
What do you need?
And you finally getting a half.
6 2/3.
6 2/3, give up 2 runs, and you're in good shape, I think.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah,
I think you're in good shape.
This lineup
that's
should be able to come up with 4 or 5 runs against the Yankees.
But the thing is, as good as they've been winning 108 games, It's the great unknown going into that game tomorrow night.
There's no easy game.
You just have no idea what you're going to get out of Chris Sale. It's going to be must-see TV and radio, that's for certain. All right, we got another hour to go with the Real Post Game Show. We're live down here at Gillette.